Blog Talk Radio.
God has set me free.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Marvin Sapp. Perfect peace. Let's get ready and turn within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we recognize that power and presence as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. Let's get ready to breathe. There's power in the breath, family. And sometimes we forget to breathe. And so in this right now moment, I want you to just turn within, recognizing that there is only one power. Breathing in all that is divine, recognizing your own magnificence. And so, as you recognize, honor the divine presence call you, I want you to take in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, hold it to the point of vibration, hold it to the count of eight, and then release the breath, family. Sometimes we forget to breathe. And so right now I want you to just breathe. Breathe deep into the diaphragm, deep into the heart. Taking in that deep breath, in through the nose. Hold it to the count of eight. Hold it to the point of vibration and then release the breath, really releasing all things that no longer serve a higher purpose. Come on, family, let's breathe. Sometimes we forget to breathe. Together, be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe. And release. Let's breathe again. Be still and know that I am God. Breathe. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. And release. And as we call forth the divine energy of forgiveness, forgiving the energy of the father womb, the inner masculine. And as we send all this forgiving energy into the universe for the father womb, we give thanks right now that God is. Let's forgive him.
Day 5, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my Father. Blessed and Heavenly Father, today I ask for and open myself to receive your forgiveness for all of the judgments, bitterness, and resentments I have held about and against my earthly father. I ask to be freed from any and all sorrow, regret, grief, depression, sadness, or suffering that I have attached to my father and his life. I ask to be lifted above any and all hurts, disappointments, and abandonments, any rage or anger and shame or blame that I have associated with my father and his life. I ask that you remind me to remember that, like me, my earthly father is a child of God, welcomed and accepted into your love. I ask that you remind me to remember when he wasn't there, you were. What he could not do, did not do, you did. I ask that you create in me a clear mind and a loving heart for my father, and teach me how to see him from a higher place. I am so grateful to know that I have always been guided, protected, and loved by the Father. I pray for my earthly father to recognize that this is also true for him. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my father. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head, and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release, knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being, and every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception that is anything but love is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. I let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. A slow, complete inhale. A slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes and stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space, and this time, your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
The dead will live again. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nation? Did you know that your baby born heaven's perfect land, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great
of the Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daddy lover, and that was Helen Daylor. Yes, Mary, did you know that when you looked in the face of your child that you was kissing the face of God? Oh, the great I Am. All right, let's get started this morning. I am reading from Until Today. And the interesting thing was, I said, what should I read from Until Today, right? And three of them popped up. So I'm going to read June 13th. And it is amazing how the synchronicities of life. It says, I am now willing to forgive myself for the judgments I have held about and against my father. Boom. You see, the universe does not edit your vocabulary. When you use a word, it ascribes the universal concept to the word. For example, let us examine the word father. In the spiritual context, the word father means mind, provider, protector, God, the one universal divine mind. Consequently, when you use the word father, the universe does not search out your meaning. You say father, the universe hears God. It is mine, it is provider, it is protector. Forgive your father. Forgive him not because you want to get right or be right with God. Forgive him so that you can be right with yourself. Forgive your father whether or not he said all the right things. Forgive him whether or not he gave you the right amount of time and energy. Forgive him whether or not he was there to teach you what you needed to know about life. Forgive your father because you are confused in the universe. You see, the judgments you hold against your father may be construed as judgments you are holding against the father. Forgive your father because holding judgments about him and against him are construed as judgments about the divine mind. And these are the judgments that cause the confusion, the anger, and shame you experience or harbor in your own mind. Forgive your father because until today, the love you are seeking will continue to elude you. Let me say that again. Forgive your father because until today, the love you are seeking will continue to elude you. If you cannot forgive him, how can you even forgive yourself for the things you have told yourself about you? Until today, you may not have realized that what you think, feel, and judge about your own father is construed by the universal intelligence as judgments against the one true father. Just for today, open your heart. Open your heart so the father asks him to give you the courage and compassion to forgive yourself for judging your father. Today I'm devoted to opening my heart to forgive myself for the judgments I have held about my father. The second one says, I am now receptive to the idea that the need to be liked is a reflection of what needs to be healed. Now sit down. This one is going to be rough. It may even rub you the wrong way or upset your ideas about some things you thought were important. It may even ruin the activities you had planned for today, which means you are going to have to shift gears and find something else to focus your life on. You may think you know this already. Perhaps you do. But I bet each time something happens to remind you, you scratch your head trying to figure out why. What is it? Well, here it is. Everybody does not have to like you. Let me say that again. Everybody don't have to like you. In fact, everybody can't like you. Everybody must not like you. This is not their job. Liking you is not anyone's purpose in this life except yours. You see, there's time for when, for no apparent reason or for no good reason at all, people decide that you are not likable. They may even profess to hate you. They will say things to you or about you that will hurt your feelings. Sometimes they will go out of their way just to be mean and nasty to you, no matter how hard you try to make them like you. But they won't. But this does not make them bad people. Oh, no, it simply means that they may have stuff going on with them that has nothing to do with you. And that will trigger your stuff. That's right. The behavior of the people who don't like you will bring up your abandonment issues. Your issues about being rejected. Come on, Holy Spirit. Your issues about not being good enough or not doing things right enough. The minute you discover that somebody you think is important to you doesn't like you, all your people-pleasing stuff will be triggered and you'll be forced to deal with it. But what a blessing. This is precisely the stuff you need to hear. Until today, you may have been concerned because you know that there are people who, for one reason or another, just simply don't like you. And just for today, concern yourself with figuring out why you think they should. Woo! Today, I'm devoted to examining my need to be a light and accepted by other people. I wanted to read both of those because I think so many times we get caught up in stuff, needing validation outside of ourselves. In examining the father wound, the one thing that I come to understand as I watch my granddaughter, I watch as she lays and just looks at my daughter with admiration. But when her father comes and he holds her, how she just completely relaxed. I watch when everybody else holds her, she kind of still holds it, you know. But when she is in her father, it's like an arm. She is in a complete exhale, like the world is protecting her and that the universe loves her and that she has no care in the world. She could be crying. She could be, but soon as her dad lays her against his chest, she goes into a complete relaxation. And I was like, wow. And at first I thought it was her, and I watched a little baby on YouTube on Facebook. Somebody had said on Facebook the mother had passed away in childbirth and the father was caring for the baby and the father was singing one of Luther Vandross songs to the baby and how the baby was in complete just complete relaxation looking at the father and the father was singing to the baby and I was like, wow. I said, there's something energetic that happens with a baby when a mother and father are together in peace and harmony. I watched. I thought to myself, so what happens when we're just raised maybe by, like, me being the different foster kids most of the time, whatever, with my mom, she was a single mom, and the peace that we don't get is the peace that comes with having a father that is in your life. And I said, so I wonder what kind of feelings you grow up with. And I thought about myself. I kept saying, well, maybe parts of my abandonment not just comes from the fact that my mom didn't show up, or my feelings of rejection, feelings like when I was reading about, you know, when she said all the times when we want to be liked, our issues about not being good enough, not doing things right enough. You know, the behavior that we have about our abandonment issues, or I'm just going to say me, maybe you don't have those, or my own rejection issues that get triggered. I wonder if there's a sense of more confidence that happens when you grow up with a father. That's what I was thinking today. You know, as I began to do this, and how you navigate within your relationships. So I saw this article, and I said, wow, this is so interesting. And how important the spiritual lessons of your romantic relationships. Most of us crave it. And most of us reflect those rejection issues, those abandonment issues, when we get into our relationship and we too busy outside this, ourselves trying to fix the mirror, but not looking inside ourselves to find out me attracting emotionally unavailable men or women, for the men that are online, or for however you decide your romantic relationships. I'm not putting it in a box, anybody who, what the point is, the romantic relationship is a reflection of our inner self, right? So the spiritual lesson of a romantic relationship, right? And so I wanted to read this because I thought this was a really powerful article. He says, do you crave it? Have you ever had a relationship and lost it? Do you feel stuck in your relationship where before you felt free? Or maybe you went through a rough breakup and are timid about getting into another relationship. Well, here's the good news. There is a spiritual lesson in every romantic relationship. Now, if you are single, you can learn a lesson from your previous relationship. Or if you are in a relationship, you can learn the lesson and go deeper. Want to learn the spiritual lesson of your relationship? Well, that's what this is all about. Love and passion in a relationship make our lives come alive. A fulfilling relationship make your life worth living. It takes you deeper. It heals you. It brings your heart out. My therapist once told me, after I had read hundreds of self-help books, congratulations. Now, if you really want to grow, get into a relationship. So many people think that being single is the answer. But if you really want to grow and expand, get in a relationship. Boom. What powerful advice. That's such a powerful advice. You see, there's a spiritual lesson in being in a relationship, an intimate relationship. And when you learn this lesson, everything improves. It's my great honor with you to share with you how to learn the spiritual lessons in your relationship and bring you closer to a fulfilling love. Goes on to say, do you ever feel so exhausted from work you don't have the energy for a relationship? Do you ever feel the woman you need to be at work is somehow at odds with the woman you need to be in love? Do you ever feel that even if you attract the love, you don't know how to keep it or sustain it? Are you looking to integrate within yourself the spiritual seeker, the worldly achiever, the woman who wants to be loved? He says, here it is. Hey there. Did you know that there's a spiritual message in your romantic relationship? He said, when you look at the first 3 to 6 months, you fall in love, but you don't really fall in love. What you fall in is what they call chemical soup, right? You fall in dopamine. You fall into what they call oxytocin, epinephrine, norepinephrine, and serotonin, all these neurochemicals and all the peptides and all the different hormones of the body that just kind of flood together in this chemical soup, and you feel like this sort of magical, mystical, incredible feeling, right? Well, the reason is twofold. One, because you're given an experience of what divine enlightenment of the experience of God consciousness, or whatever that might be. You're getting that experience of what it feels like temporarily. Let me say that again, because I really want you to think about this. The reason we fall in that chemical soup that I read to you, all those oxytocin, epinephrine, serotonin, all of that stuff, it's twofold, because we're given an experience of what divine enlightenment or the experience of God consciousness or whatever that might be, you're getting that experience of what that feels like temporary. And also the biology is designed to make sure that we're bonding and having sex so that the species continue. But the veil eventually drops on all relationships. And then you begin to see the person for their flaws, and the things that used to make you really love this person are the things that now really piss you off. And instead of leaving, unless you're being physically abused, which in which case get out immediately, there's an opportunity for you to learn the spiritual lessons. Here's what we've learned. We've all have childhood wounds that we've been through. And what's fascinating, we tend to draw to us people who are ready to teach us in this energy in many ways. I want to say that again. We all have childhood wounds that we've been through. And what's fascinating, we tend to draw to us the people who are ready to teach us. You see, the reason we are attracted to someone is not just a physical, chemical, or phenomenon. There's also a spiritual lesson for you. There are pieces of your childhood that need to be worked out. And you get the opportunity to see this beautiful example of someone in front of you who has the elements. Now, get it. Do you get it? They have the elements to help you see yourself and get to learn what that spiritual lesson is. So you can make them wrong. You can argue and try to change them, but that's never going to work. You can really start to take responsibility for your side of the relationship and go, what's my spiritual lesson here? Maybe I'm being asked to expand. Maybe I'm being asked to grow. Maybe I'm being asked to have a greater sense of self. Maybe I'm asked to be open up and be more vulnerable. Maybe I'm learning to how to set more boundaries. Because the thing that attracts you to someone will be the thing that pisses you off and will be the reason why you break up unless you embody it. So here's the thing. Deal with it now, because you can leave the relationship and then go on to another relationship. But the thing is, you're just going to keep having that sort of chemical soup in love over and over again. The veil always drops. You would date the same person in different shoes. You're going to keep dating the same person in a different set of shoes. So if you're in a relationship now and you feel stuck, use this as an opportunity to learn the spiritual lesson, because you're going to learn it one way or another. You're going to find yourself in the exact same position in the future that you are in right now. So you get the opportunity to dive deeper and really embody what you love. So without ego, so without needing to be upright, without trying to step in some sort of hierarchy of you right and their wrong, because remember, in a relationship, you both are learning. You both going to take responsibility for your side of the street. So really ask yourself, what is my partner teaching me? What is my partner teaching me? Do I really need to speak up for myself? Do I really need to learn that? Do I really need to learn to love myself more? Do I really need to learn how to say, what is my partner teaching me? Because what attracted you to that person is what's pissing you off about that person. And honestly, how could you embody it? This advice has saved so many relationships. So really think about this. If you know someone who's in a relationship right now and they're having some strife, what could this relationship be teaching them? If you're in a relationship, really think, what is the spiritual message in my relationship beyond the in loving feelings, beyond the oxytocin? What is the spiritual message? And how am I being asked and offered the opportunity to grow here deeper and in deeper ways? And so if you don't get the lesson today, then you just get somebody else showing up in the same shoes, but a different body. And you keep going down the same line. Have you ever stopped and asked yourself, looked up 10 years, why are you in the same boat? If you learn it in the future, if you don't learn it now, you are learning in the future. You could skip all the heartbreaks. Let's skip all that stuff and learn your spiritual lesson now so that you can go to the next level in your spiritual life and also in your romantic life. What is the spiritual message in this romantic relationship? What is the spiritual lesson? And if we don't get the message, then we got to do it all over again. And many times, we keep saying the same thing. What's wrong with women? What's wrong with men? What's interesting, he said a quote here, the quality of your life is the quality of your relationship. And here's the truth. If you feel like you can't be yourself in relationships, you're signing up for pain highway. I want you to think about that. Do you feel like you are in a spiritual closet and have to hide what you really think or believe? Or maybe like the relationships in your life lack depth. Do you feel like you are missing out on being really seen? To hide who you are to fit in? Here's the truth. When we feel like we can't be ourselves in any relationship, you're signing up for pain highway. Let's take the next off-ramp of pain highway and get you into an awesome relationship freeway. He said, you need to get into more love, more growth, more fun, more connection. Sharing your truth and not being judged, not having to pretend everything is not as good as it really is because you might burn someone else out. No more hiding, only love, only joy, and only connection. Sounds good, right? Well, here's how we do it. What exact steps are you going to take starting now to create a real soul relationship in your life? And what would life look like if you did? What would life look like if you begin to look at your intimate relationship and ask yourself, what is this relationship come to teach me? What soul connection could I really have? He said, so let's talk about how to build a soul-to-soul relationship. He said, part of living your purpose is having a soul-to-soul relationship. He said, a lot of people I meet, they have relationships that are surface level, or they're based on how much money you're making, or because you are just in the same family, or happen to be belated. And what I've noticed is that a lot of people who are coming to me, or who are coming, or maybe for you as well, they are really looking for a deeper level connection, a really soul-to-soul connection. So what is your soul? What is your soul? The soul essence is a part of you that knows what's really true for you, the things you really want to say, the things that come from your heart. And so a lot of times it can be scary to have those type of relationships because he or she may not accept that part of you. How many of us are hiding? Maybe that's what the relationship comes to teach us, how to stand in the light of our own gift. We had a lot of people who come out of the spiritual closet, if you know what I'm saying. And so if you're in the spiritual closet, or if you want to come out of the spiritual closet, if you're out of the spiritual closet and you don't have the tribe of people, the question is, how do you build your soul-to-soul relationship? He said, here's the first few things that you have to do. It's important to set boundaries. It's important to set boundaries with people who are no longer on your wavelength or no longer resonating with the path that you're on. This does not mean that you're more spiritual than them, but it does mean that it's okay to set boundaries with people who may not understand this new journey that you're on. He said the next thing you want to do is to want to actually have the courage to start speaking up and talking about the things that matter to you. If you want to talk about meditation or prayer, if you want to talk about your ability to manifest and co-create, if you want to talk about purpose or these deeper experiences, you are allowed and you have permission to talk about these things. And here's the thing. If you have a thing where you feel like, man, I'm just not feeling seen, there's no part of me that wishes I could be seen. There's a part of me that wishes I could be seen. Well, one of the reasons why you're not being seen is because you're not showing yourself. You're not showing up for yourself. You're not showing that the real authentic side of you to the world. So how do you expect to be in relationship with someone else if you're not showing your authentic self up? I expect you to see me when I don't see myself. I expect you to love me when I don't love myself. Is that really fair? I expect you to know more about what I need and want than I do. We have to think about that. In reality, we teach people how to show up in our lives. My grandmother used to say, people don't treat you the way you treat them, they treat you the way you treat yourself. And if you're not important to you, how am I supposed to expect you to be important? Me to be important to you if I'm not important to me? It takes courage to, I know, to show our true self. Especially if that part of you have been shut down by your friends or family and people in your inner circle. So the first thing we have to do is really set those boundaries and allow ourselves to see ourselves and speak up for ourselves. And we want to nurture ourselves into being the greatest, magnificent presence that we came to the planet to be. You see, the thing about a soul-to-soul connection is that someone who is really speaking to you at that level, it's about authenticity. It's about telling the truth. It's about being real with yourself, not being fakey spiritual where you're only talking about things that spiritual people talk about, but it's about being true. To you. It's about being vulnerable. It's about being able to be afraid. It's okay that you're scared of or talk about what you're afraid of or what you love or what you want to create, the fears you have about what you want to create. And it's about being vulnerable. It's about honoring even the place in your own self that's in the darkness. See, it's about honoring your truth the truth that you are magnificent, the truth that you are sometimes afraid to stand in your own greatness because of the attention, but you're going to do everything it's going to take to remove that fear and do it anyway. It's okay to love the greater version of you. It's okay to be in a deep love affair with you, because in that deep love affair, you teach people how to treat you. And so the greatest thing we can do, the most powerful thing, is to really get in a soul-to-soul relationship with yourself. You got to love yourself. You got to set boundaries. You got to get out there and tell the truth and serve the greatest version of you to other people. And in a credible world of soulful relationships will open up to you simply because you are in soulful relationship with yourself. Beautiful, powerful, magnificent self. And the truth is, you are the first example of the God in your life. You are the first representation of God in your life. And so at the end of the day, when we look at how we treat the very presence of the gift that we are we really honoring the God presence of us? When you begin to look around your environment, how you've been eating, how you've been treating, how you've been speaking to the very gift that you are, is that really how you should be treating yourself? So many times we treat other people better than we treat ourselves. Someone come over for dinner, guess what we do? We pull out the fine china, but we won't pull it out for ourselves. We'll go out the way for somebody else, but I'm too tired. I don't feel like going out of the way for myself. And so in the really scheme of things, I expect somebody else to treat me better than I'm even treating myself. Is that really, 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 does it really, really make sense? And it's so interesting that we've been taught unconsciously to give everything we have away, everything. We ain't got no more to give. We do it for our children, our spouses, our husbands, our wives, everybody in the world, but we won't stop to give ourselves to ourselves before we give everything away to somebody else. And then we wonder why we're getting back what we're getting back in return. Think about this. If I'm giving from an empty vessel, but I want you to give me a full vessel, in reality, the only thing that I'm really getting is what I gave out, vessel, tithe. And so guess what? I'm getting that back. And it may not look like what I gave out. I went out of my way for you. I turned 300 flips, but I did it tithe. I didn't really want to do it. And now I'm upset because you're not willing to go to the same length for me. But in reality, I'm just meeting my energetic expression. Your disloyalty is my disloyalty to myself. Think about that. I want you to really marinate on that. Your disloyalty is my disloyalty to myself. You are reflecting where I've been disloyal to me. Because I haven't healed those unhealed spaces of any wound, my father wound, my mother wound, my inner child, whatever wound it is those unhealed spaces come to show up in our most intimate relationship, because it's in the most intimate relationships that we see ourselves. It's in the most intimate relationships that becomes our biggest mirror. That's where we get to look in the mirror of self. And like the article said, the first few months is all beautiful chemical soup. But once the chemical soup, the oxytocin, the epinephrine, and all that begins to subside, and we begin to see the people for who they really are, the most difficult thing seems to be to look at ourselves. Because that's the biggest mirror right there, right? And so we say to ourselves, even me, many years being with my husband, I kept saying to myself, I don't see myself. Mm-mm. How can I be like that? I remember saying to myself plenty of times, oh, Holy Spirit, but when your eyes begin to see, I could see how, oh, God, it was really interesting to really look myself in the eye and see the very essence of things that I said that wasn't me was me. But it was difficult for me to see it. I really couldn't see it at first. I honestly could not see that I was being like this particular person, stubborn and didn't want to see things nobody else way. And oh my God. And you know what was interesting? This was really, really interesting. So I got to the day one day. I said to my husband, my children were grown and they had pretty much moved out, went to college, graduated, and decided the direction they wanted to take. So it was New Year's Eve, and I decided that I wanted to tell my husband I didn't want a roommate when the children are gone. I don't want to be like everybody else. We just stay together just because, for the sake. But to just really decide if this is the direction we wanted to go in, right? And if we wanted to stay together, how did we want that to look like? Like, for me, I didn't want to just be in any relationship, and because we've been together this long, we just do what we do and kind of be like roommates. I didn't want that. I wanted to be, you know, I wanted us to renew our relationship. I wanted us to kind of date. And so I put that down, and I wrote down everything. And then we had to write down some things that we felt that we wanted to grow for the other person. So, like, the things that we felt like, I felt like Britton should grow in, and I felt like Britton don't hear me when I'm talking, and all the stuff that I wrote down. Can you believe that everything I wrote is the same thing he said about me? The things that I said about him, like he was stubborn, is the same thing he said about me. And it was so funny that we felt the same way about each other, that I didn't see that I was stubborn. I didn't see that, you know, I was like, God, I'm not that way. And in essence, the same things I was fussing about in my mind, he was fussing about too. And it was the same thing. I just thought that was hilarious, because I didn't see myself in that way. So it was really a very interesting exercise for us to come up with, and to be able to, through what it is that we wanted to have in a relationship, but also be able to work through the things that we wanted to see change. And so in reality, even when we can't see ourselves, doesn't mean that it's not a reflection of ourselves. And people cannot be in our space if they're not a reflection, because we only meet our vibrational match. I know we don't want to believe that. We only meet our vibrational match. The language of the universe is vibration. So in reality, we don't get what we think in. We get what we vibrate. We're attracting into our experience what we're vibrating at. So when you don't like what your vibrational match is showing you, you don't go fix the mirror. What are you going to do? You got to fix, and I don't want to use fix like something is broken, but you got to go in there and remove the part of you that's covering up the real you. So that's important for us to really think about. How am I showing up? What's still plaguing me and it's showing up in my life? Like, what is the wheel that I've been on for a long time? My girlfriend and I was talking yesterday, and she was talking about the wheel of lack. It's just no matter what, you know, she's just going through, and she seemed to be on this perpetual wheel of lack, meaning she'll have, you know, blah, 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 and then she'll go through this lack experience. Then she'll go through, and then go through this lack experience. And so we were talking about it yesterday. Why does she keep finding herself in lack? Well, another lady, when we were talking, it was three of us, she said she finds herself in the same boat with each romantic relationship. They go together, they go and they go, and then at some point, he seems to lose interest in the way that she wants to be interested in. Meaning that at first they go and hang out and do all this stuff together, they're inseparable. And then it seems like the game is more important, everything is more important than her. And she seems to find that perpetual in all of her relationships. And I thought it was an interesting conversation because when we get down to it, guess where the real healing takes place? The real healing takes place when we start to work on that inner child. Because you know what happens? He shows up or she shows up, and those abandonment feelings or that not important feelings, all those feelings comes from the idea of what happened to us in our childhood. I'll give you an example. And you heard my story, but I'm just going to say it again for a lot of new callers. I'm sitting in the middle of my bed. I'm distraught. I'm crying. Profusely crying because he did it again. He didn't show up. I can't believe we had another day and it's my birthday. He didn't come call her right. But at this point that I'm profusely upset, it's a conglomerate of things, and this is just the one thing that broke the mold. And I no longer wanted to be on that kind of merry-go-round. So I'm sitting in the middle of my bed saying, God, I don't really understand this life. Matter of fact, can you just stop the world and let me off? Because I'm not understanding. This just might be a cruel trick. That's what I'm thinking. Because at some point in this life, this got to do better. It's got to get better. I'm literally crying, telling God that because I can't understand what is going on. I'm doing all the right stuff. I pay my tithes. I go to church. I read my Bible. I'm doing all the stuff I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm not getting back what I think I deserve in this lifetime. Something is wrong with this picture. If this is what you're supposed to do to be good, then I'm doing it. And God let me go through the whole gamut of stuff. With my tears, with my screaming, with my hollering, and finally, I began to breathe. You know how you're crying at that heaving where you can't even breathe no more, and you're just like profusely crying, you're getting all of it out. I'm getting it out now. Now finally take a breath, and I hear Spirit say, get your journal. And Spirit say, take a line and put down the middle of the paper. And put everything on one side that you really loved about the relationship, and on the other side, put everything that you didn't like about the relationship. Well, when I started writing about the things I didn't like, rejection, abandonment, he don't care, I'm not important, he's a liar, he's disloyal. Everything I wrote, right? And I began come to the end of the paper, and I said, "Now what, God?" And God said, "When do you remember the earliest feeling of that?" "What? What do you mean, God? When was the earliest memory of that same feeling?" And then in my mind, it was like, as soon as God said that to me, something opened in my mind and brought me back to my childhood. And I'm sitting in a window looking out the window. I see myself as a little girl. And I began to look in this little girl's eyes. And I see this little girl sitting there looking out the window in my mind's eye. I remember looking out that window, waiting on my mom. It's my birthday, and she never showed up, right? And I remember going to bed. I see myself going to bed. And I see myself having the same feeling I was having in the middle of the bed. I would see myself really see. I remember, and I get into the feeling that I was feeling when I was a little girl, because I'm feeling the same feeling, not important. My mother didn't show up. She didn't come call her right. I feeling rejected. I was feeling abandoned. I was feeling not important. And then nobody loved me. Everything else is more important than me. And I remember crying myself to sleep. And I remember thinking I'm just not loved. And do you know that got embedded into who I was? And I began to live my life with that story. That was my narrative. And I still got residue of that today that I'm still working out of. But I'm telling you, that became my platinum song. And I was the award-winning singer for that song. And I was attracting that experience in my life because there were still unhealed spaces in me that needed to be healed. And that little girl needed to be known that she was lovable. And that she is important. And that she is a gift to the planet. And that little girl needed to hear it. She needed to know it. And she needed to own it. Because if not, she was going to continue on that merry-go-round. So people ask, why are you always talking about forgiveness? Because we really, truly can't love and live a life that we want to live if we can't let go of what happened in 1962 at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Too many of us are carrying bags. That's way too heavy to keep carrying. Erykah Badu said it best, right, y'all? Bad lady. You gon' hurt yourself dragging all the bags like that. How many bags you gonna keep on carrying? Dragging the bags across and expecting somebody else to treat you better than you treating yourself. Expecting somebody to tell you stuff that you ain't even telling yourself. It's time for us to let go and come face to face with our own magnificence. It's time to let go of that story we've been telling ourselves for way too long. But what's most important, it's time for us to let go of the residue. We may have forgiven the person, but have we released, which is another level of forgiveness, have we released? Because when I forgave my mom, and y'all know I'm just working on that masculine thing right now. Because I didn't even think I had, you know, I guess I must have thought I was perfect, right, y'all? I didn't think I had no issues. Because I didn't, what father wound I had? I didn't have no father, so how could I have a father wound? But I had a father void, which left a residue of not feeling supported. Because what happens in the man, the male energy is the part of you that structures support. That's why so many of us feel unsupported. because a lot of us grew up in feminine household with a mother only. And so we're off balance. And so we keep attracting ourselves off balance. Because the yin and the yang balance creates a wholeness. So I had to go into my inner masculine. I had to do some deep diving into the surface to find out, well, what's going on with my inner masculine? And part of the inner masculine that needed to be healed shows up in my ability to trust enough to give out delegations to help create a team. So there's a lot of things that happen that show up in our, when we are not in our healed space, that shows up not just our relationships, but how we navigate our leadership qualities. All the things that is happening in our life comes from the story or the belief system that we're carrying in our energy. Think about it. If you're in a multi-level marketing and you're creating a team and you wonder why you haven't been able to create your team, because you probably don't believe that you can be supported and trust that you could be supported. You see how it translates into every area of our life, because how we do everything. And trust me, I still got a lot of work to do, because I didn't think I had any work to do on my masculine presence. I was working many years on my feminine energy because I always felt like it was the energy of my mother womb. But it's my mother womb and my father womb that needed to be healed. I needed to balance it out, and I couldn't figure out. I'm always doing my work, God. I'm doing my work, and I'm still going through this. And I'm always fussing at God, and God say, honey, just do the work. But I am doing the work, God. But I wasn't doing the work on my masculine energy. The part of me that needs to learn to trust. The part of me that needed to know that the universe truly adores me and will take care of me. And I didn't have to do a thing but just show up and be me, be my authentic self. And so interesting, when I began to write my letters to my inner masculine, how my heart began to open up, to know that the universe is friendly to my desires. Because the masculine side of us is the side of us that trust and that believe in the protector and believe that we're protected. And so the work is on us. It's us to take our time and be still and see what is going on in our outer world that needs some more love and energy, and see what needs to be healed right there. It's the work that needs to be done. And even though it was showing up in my face, for some reason I was blind to it. I was blind to it because I thought I had it going on. Well, I got it going on. Been in a relationship 30 years, got a good job. I was having, you know, well, at the time when I had my good job, I was 20-something years in a relationship, making six figures. Life was good, driving a Mercedes, having nice things. And those things numb you to yourself. It's when those things get pulled back that you got to look at yourself for real. And in them, for real, these are the things that I had that I didn't know needed to be. I didn't even realize I was still operating out of my ego. It's when you get stripped to the bare minimum of life that you get to look straight dead in your eyes, because you can't do nothing but look at you, because you're creator. You're the creator. I'm looking at myself going, God, I know I can't. God, I know. But the thing is, it's when you get to that low part, when you can't do nothing but look at you, that you get to see your own beauty, your own strength, your own ability to persevere. You get to see things about you you never saw before. And there's something amazing about that when you begin to see the beauty of yourself. When you can get so vulnerable with yourself that you can look into the dark crevices of all that you ever feared and all that was ever dark and still know that you're an amazing being, and that no matter what is showing up, no matter if you ain't got a dime, no matter if you're homeless, no matter if you ain't got a car, you still are amazing. And that no matter what's going on, you could trust that the universe got you. That's a powerful place to be. Would I have been able to be that person when I first started out in the game? Absolutely not. But what I am saying to you is this. There's only one game in town. If you want to do and be all the best you can be, it's all inside of you. And you, the only game in town. The answer is you. The answer is in you. No matter what's going on in your life, whether it's lack, whether it's this or whether it's that, it's all you. Yep, you boo. And no matter how I wanted to look outside myself, and even though I knew the spiritual understanding, I didn't embody it because I still felt like it had to be some kind of flaw in the law, because I know this is not me. I'm reflecting. He is not me. This stuff that is coming up in my life is not me. I didn't create this. I didn't ask for this. You see what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, and I'm going to leave you with this one thought. You got to do the work. And it only works if you work it. So today, family, so today, recognize the reflection and the demonstration of the world around you. If you're back in a space you didn't want to be in, if you're not where you want to be, or wherever you are, whether you're on top of the world or in the valley, look at your demonstration and ask yourself, is this really how I want to reflect in my life? And the only person who can change what's going on in my world is me. If it's going to be me, it's going to be up to me. And I have to change. I have to look at myself. I have to heal my father wounds. I have to heal my mother wounds. I got to go in. And I can't blame nobody else no more for what's not happening in my life. So today, let's heal together, family. That's my message. That's my message. Any questions, press 1 on Blog Talk, star 6 on teleconference. You've been tuned in to The Love Journey, your love experience with Janine Ann Ingram. Let's change. Let's shift. Let's grow, family. All right, your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God. Remember that you love, family. Love, love, love. Love is the only choice. And remember, not just dream, but live your God-sized dream, family. There's nothing better than love. This is Mesa, right here in the Love Church.
There's nothing better than love. I fell asleep late last night, and I dreamed the night and almost half the day away. I just got up so that I could hear her say she's still in love and no one can take her love away.
Ooh, love wakes me up every day, and I thought no one could ever make me feel this way. It fills me up every time I hear him say he's still in love and no one can take his love away.
Better, baby.